Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. And you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will join us, along with Rob DeWalt, speaking of the arts. I'm very happy now to welcome Rita McKenzie. She is the star of the one-woman show called Ethel Merman's Broadway, which is being performed at the Lensic this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, presented by Age Nation. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Now,
well, I just wanted to make a point at the outset that, you know, Ethel Merman was really a force to be reckoned with, and most of the time you didn't notice the chorus when she was there. So when you say it's a one-woman show, we did it deliberately that way because that's the way Ethel would have wanted it.
Yeah, very interesting. So how did you, I mean, people have said, I haven't seen the show obviously yet, but people say that you were such a terrific Ethel Merman. Did you notice the similarity between you and her early on? Did you
Never.
Always love her?
No, I didn't like her. I really didn't. I liked Julie Andrews because as a young girl, I noticed that, you know, the ingenues got the guy. So, you know, no, I didn't want to be Ethel Merman at all. But as my career got started and got revved up, people, critics, you know, I was at HB Studio down in New York for a year with Rita Gardner, who was the girl, first girl in the Fantastics, and she's a teacher there now. And she said to me, if Ethel ever dies, you're it. This was back in the 80s. And critics would say that I reminded them of the spirit of a young Ethel Merman. And I thought, well, that's not great, but, you know, okay. But Ethel died in 84, and so we started writing this show in 1987. So we've actually passed our 20th anniversary with the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We thought we were going to do it for 6 performances over and out, but the New York Times got a hold of it, and Liz Smith got a hold of it. And then it's just been one wonderful thing after another, quite frankly. And, of course, it is obviously not the show it was 20 years ago. We brought it to the Pasadena Playhouse. They invited us to come in, and we wrote it as a two-act musical at that point. And we've added things over the years. And so it's just grown. It's amazing. And there's a lot of costumes involved. There are projections involved. There's an orchestra on the stage. So, you know, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, because me as a person, I love to have a good time. And I think the audiences do too. So we decided to make it a good time with great music.
Now, the ingenues might get the guys, but the self-sufficient, independent, rather loud women have much more of an interesting life.
Oh, absolutely. But, 20 years old, did I know that?
Right.
I don't think so.
But Ethel Merman almost seemed to. I mean, she started very early. She was
yes.
a natural talent. I don't think, did she have much formal training?
No, she didn't. And she used to say that her story made Cinderella look like a sob story. But that was her career. But in her personal life, she had some tragedy. And, of course, we do talk about that, too. One of her husbands committed suicide. Her daughter died accidentally with an overdose of sleeping pills and drink. And that she basically retired at that point. So she had some tragedy in her life, but her career was like a rocket. I mean, she was 19 years old when she first sang the song "I Got Rhythm," George Gershwin's song, and brought down the house. And from that moment on, she did have a Cinderella story in her career.
Now she started singing before there were really amplifying voices.
Oh, absolutely. There were microphones hanging from the ceiling. I mean, that's the way they did it, and she had to project. And, I would love to do it that way, but guess what? Audiences want to hear every breath I take because they're used to that from Broadway now. So, yes, I do amplification and all the things that we need to do, but I can do that because when I first started, we didn't have all that. So I had to learn to hold a note for 16 measures, and I had to learn to, you know, really project. I mean, I was always a person who projected, but I certainly wasn't as strong as I am now, and I've learned over the years to do that. And what actually made me want to do the show, I want to go back to that because I said I never liked her. When it turned out that she passed away, and my partner, writing partner and director of the show, Christopher Powich, said, let's do a tribute to Ethel. And I said, no. There was only one Ethel Merman, and I really liked, you know, her from afar, but no, I don't want to do an Ethel Merman show. So I went down to Lincoln Center Library, and on the third floor they have all the personal effects and clippings and all kinds of things. And you're not allowed to take anything. Well, you weren't at that time allowed to take anything but a pencil and a pad. And I went in there and I started looking through the memorabilia, and I found out about her was that she was very shy, you know, one-on-one. And I thought, well, I am too, you know. And then I found out she was a wonderful daughter to her parents, and she was a wonderful mother to her children. And I thought, well, my goodness, I have two children. You know, they're very young right now, but I understand and I identify with that kind of a person. So then I started to really look into it, and I grew to love her, really love her. She was an independent woman before her time, definitely. In the Depression, you know, where people were really on breadlines and so forth, Ethel Merman's voice was the voice of the Depression, to be truthful with you. And people always felt that when Ethel Merman sang, that they felt like things were going to be okay. And that's what the older people tell me when they come to the show. They say, you know, this is what we remember, and this is why we got through the Depression, we got through World War II. So, you know, when you hear that kind of a thing, you say, wow, that's pretty cool, you know?
And so, it reminds you how important art and music are in our lives.
Definitely. It's exactly the truth. Exactly. It's very important. People, that's the first thing to go, supposedly, especially in this day and age when the money is cut off. But the facts are that it's the only thing that gets people through emotionally. And their emotional well-being and their emotional state of affairs is really important to people having hope and moving forward. So, yeah, it's very important.
We're talking to Rita McKenzie about her one-woman show, Ethel Merman's Broadway. Now, did Ethel Merman also dance?
Well, she moved. You know, I mean, she had to. You have to do that. She had a little signature dance or walk that she did with the songs, which, of course, I replicate because that's what you do. She also was always, she had these little hand movements that she would do. And, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at her. And the more I looked at her, I thought, you know, it's amazing because she's constantly moving. She's, you know, got this big voice. And she's never out of breath. So, you know, I really learned to do that. And it's really helped me in my life. But I actually remembered back to when I had my first child and I did it natural childbirth. And I think that sort of helped me with the breathing. And I also thought of, oh my goodness, Al Jolson had a great belting voice. And I thought for Al Jolson also when I started doing the show. I thought, well, if he can do that, I will try to do the same thing. And that's how I learned to do it.
You've played some of the same roles that Ethel Merman played, like Reno Sweeney in Anything Goes. And right. I was wondering, are performers who do roles that were really defined by Ethel Merman, are they always influenced by her or in her shadow in some way?
No, I don't think so, because I'm an actor in my own right. I always have been. And what I do, it depends upon what I'm doing and where I'm doing it. If they've called on me to do Reno Sweeney because I do the Ethel Merman show, then I'll try to give them a little of that. I mean, I did the 50th anniversary tour, 90-city tour of Annie Get Your Gun. And basically, Annie was me. That's who it was. I was, you know, it was Rita McKenzie. But when I started to sing, I would always put a little bit of Ethel in there because I knew that not necessarily did the audiences that came to see the 50th birthday understand. But I thought, you know, they should hear some of what Ethel really was. Because that projection, there was nobody like her. There has never been anybody like her. And she was a force. And so, you know, I would do some of that. But most of it was me. So, yeah, no, I love Ethel, you know, but she doesn't. Ethel Merman's Broadway, now that's a whole other deal, okay? That for me is like putting on a wonderful prom dress that, oh, my goodness, it still fits, you know? So it really is, I basically, when I get dressed and I put the makeup on and so forth, I am Ethel Merman. I you know, that is who I am through the whole show. But every audience is different, and you're right in that moment. You know, it was something that the actors of Ethel's day didn't do. They basically learned their routine. They learned their stage business. And they did just that business and just that routine. Now, actors today on the Broadway stage, they do the same thing, only there's another layer on top of it, which is you're listening, you're looking, and, you know, if you're on the stage with other actors, of course, you're listening to what they're saying, and you're responding, and it's different every night. So as a one-woman show, the audience is my co-star, and I'm listening to them. I've worked with people like Milton Berle and Don Knotts and all those comics, and I'll be honest with you, listening for the way the audience laughs or the way they breathe is an art in itself, and I've learned how to do it, and it's the most exciting thing to be up there on that stage, and the audience is a living sort of being in that audience there. I mean, in the theater, they're breathing or they're coughing or they're laughing or they're clapping, and there are all different types of ways they do that. And so you're basically having a conversation, and it's kind of cool because they don't say anything, but you know what they're thinking.
So when you have all these different kinds of audiences, I mean, a lot of people remember Ethel Merman because they were there at the time, but what about younger audiences? Are you able to really draw them into this magic of Ethel Merman?
Well, totally. I was so surprised. We spent 3.5 months in the city of Detroit this fall. And when I went there, I thought, well, now that's a tough city because there's a lot of depression, you know, financial depression in that city. And, you know, a lot of the arts are gone. And I thought, they're taking me here for 3 months. Well, I didn't think we were going to sell. I mean, you just don't, you know. Well, it was a resounding success. And what happened was that young people came in, people who were out of work, the same types of people that were in the depression would come into the show, and I go out afterwards, and I greet the audience and so forth, and they would tell me that they, for like 2 hours, they were able to take themselves out of their problems. And boy, did I feel good about that, because I thought to myself, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. So it was fun, and it was one of the best experiences that I've ever had. So, yes, and you never know. I mean, I'm coming to Santa Fe now. I don't know if these audiences are going to love this show. I mean, I kind of know they are because the jokes work, you know, the music works, all those things work. But you just, you know, you've got that little bit of play in there where you don't know, and that's what makes it exciting for an actor, too, to get up there. And you're sort of, you know, most everything is known. I would say 80% of it, but the rest of it is that night and that group of people. And it's different every night. So it's wonderful, you know. I mean, obviously, I am not a doctor. I never studied to be a doctor. But I think, personally, this is the best job to have if you're not curing cancer or curing people, because this is a way to cure them, you know, emotionally for a few hours. And, I don't want to be heavy about it. But it is a lot of fun, and people do feel great about it. And there's a lot of gossip in it, too. So they get caught up on, you know, Ethel worked with a lot of great people, and she had a movie career also. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on in there.
Well, let's talk about the movie career. Did she, what was the transition like for her? I mean, obviously she was doing both, but from stage to film, I was reading somewhere that she was kind of better on stage than in film.
Well, you know, she didn't translate well. That was a problem. I myself personally have done both, and I learned from Ethel that you don't. It's not the same muscle you use in a film or on TV that you use on the stage. But Ethel didn't know that, and so she came off as bigger than life. She had two stints in the movie business. One in the 30s, where she made probably 30 films. And I know people go, "Excuse me, I didn't know that." Yes, she did, and she spent a lot of time in Hollywood then. And then, of course, she went back in the 60s, and she did, the one with all the comics. Oh, my goodness, I can't think right now. With Jimmy Durante and all those people, it's a mad, 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 mad world. She did that. She did Call Me Madam, which is the only movie of a musical that she was a star in that she made the movie of. And then she did No Business Like Show Business, and she looked great, and those were great vehicles for her. But, you know, it just wasn't meant to be in the movies. And one of her saddest memories was the fact that she was not picked to do Gypsy. She did a wonderful job in Gypsy on the stage, and Rosalind Russell did the movie, because her Rosalind Russell's husband was the producer of the movie. And see, these are the things in life that you can't predict, and you know it upsets you. I can only imagine how she felt about that, because you know, there again, that was one of her biggest musicals. Yeah, everyone was a big one, but that one was a very big one, and the people remember her for that role in that show. So
when you do this show, Ethel Merman's Broadway, what's it like? Do you tell her life story? What are we going to see?
Well, what you're going to see is it starts out with an incident that actually really happened. It's a very true story. In 1982, my partner, Chris Powich, was working at Paramount, and at that time it was at Columbus Circle in New York City, and he read an article in Variety that they were going to make a movie of Ethel's life. And he was so excited because I was very young at the time, and he said, oh, you're perfect for the young Ethel. So through different channels and whatever, he did find her number, and he did speak to Ethel. And he had a chat with her, and he said he worked at Paramount and so forth and so on. And then finally he got to the point where he said, well, I'm wondering, do you know who they're going to pick? You know, do they have someone in mind for the young Ethel? And she said, well, I'm going to do the young Ethel. Okay, well, he got off the phone, called me, of course. I lived in Connecticut at the time. We laughed about it. And so when we decided to write the show, we decided to use the premise that, yes, indeed, by the way, the movie was never made. Lester Links has passed on. He was the producer, and, of course, Ethel passed on 2 years later. So we decided to use the conceit that they were going to make a movie of Ethel's life, and she knew about it, and she was going to tell the story her way. So that's basically what the show starts out as. And then, of course, it's Ethel telling her life story the way she chooses to tell with the things she wants in it. So that's how that all unfolds. And so that's how it can be a one-person show, because it's Ethel telling her story.
So you are, I mean, this show, you've had the show on the road for a long time.
Yeah.
And it just seems to keep going. I mean,
it does. We rewrote it 2 years ago. We took the whole show, pulled it apart, put it together again, and we did it again last August for Detroit, and we're going to do it again one more time before it goes to Broadway. So we are never, it's a constant. We've never sat back and said, oh, this is great. You know, we're fine. We obviously, we don't toy with the music. The music is the music. You're going to get music by, you know, George Gershwin, Cole Porter. All Cole Porter's hits are in there. Irving Berlin, Julie Stein, Stephen Sondheim, Jerry Herman for Hello, Dolly. So you're going to get all that great music. But it's the way the music is placed. It's the way we comment on her life with the music, and it's also what we say. And we've just had a ball doing it. Never dreamed that it would be this long an adventure, but I have had some wonderful experiences. I've been to Antarctica, and I've done the show.
You performed for the penguins?
Yeah, well, you know, I was on the first ship, the Holland America, that went down to Antarctica. They had a big ice ball, and they wanted me to do the show, and I thought, well, that's crazy. Okay, I'll do it. And so I had the best time. I mean, you would imagine that you would wonder what would be in Antarctica. It was one of the most beautiful trips I've ever taken, and the show was a big success there. And I've also done it in the Hall of Presidents at the Capitol, and I've also done it in London. I didn't do the whole show. I'm sorry. I represented the United States at the end of the World War II celebration. Because Ethel Merman had passed, and the Brits love Ethel Merman. So I was there to sing Blow, Gabriel, Blow, and the Fleet's In. And it was just, it was a goosebump moment for me because, of course, my father, you know, had been in World War II, and I just thought to myself, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to the best generation of people, you know. And it was a great experience. And I've done a lot of wonderful, just fabulous experiences that have nothing to do with me personally, but have everything to do with Ethel Merman's legacy. So I'm a lucky girl. That's the way I look at it.
Rita McKenzie is the star of the one-woman show Ethel Merman's Broadway, which will be performed at the Lenzic Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 o'clock. You can get your tickets at the Lenzic 988-1234 here in the area code 505. Rita, thanks so much for being with here, and we look forward to seeing you.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I can't wait to meet everybody. I love Santa Fe. I've actually relaxed there, so now I'm very excited about coming back.
Excellent. Good. We'll see you tonight and this coming weekend.
You got it. Thank you so much.
And we're going to go out with something from Rita McKenzie's Ethel Merman's Broadway.
The year was 1930. The show, Girl Crazy, written by those two Gershwin brothers, George and Ira. Here's the song that really put me on the map.
Are back here in the Santa Fe Baking Company broadcasting live. Robert Knott is with us. He's the education reporter for the Santa Fe New Mexican, our daily paper, and Rob DeWalt joins us from the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday Arts magazine in that same great paper. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Morning.
Well, there's no people like Pasatiempo.
She sounds like Ethel.
Oh, that's great. She sounds like her.
Like Ethel. She does. Yeah.
And I went to the George Burns show they produced, and it was excellent. And so I suspect this is going to be great, too.
Yeah.
That's part of that Presenting Broadway series.
Broadway Presenter.
We're doing great, aren't we, Friday morning? If somebody's presenting something. But it sounded great. You did a great interview with her. And I just have a feeling it's going to be a great show. That's strictly entertainment. She's right. It's just time to go chill out for a couple hours and laugh and forget your problems.
Yep.
Come
definitely.
On, get happy. What do we got today? What's the cover story? A nude on Pasatiempo.
Oh, no.
I had nothing to do with it. Speak up, Mr. DeWalt.
Well, that's Pat Oliphant and doodly heck. I can't find it. Oh, and William Christenberry.
Uh-huh.
They have a dual show called Old Friends at Andrew Smith Gallery. There's an opening this afternoon, 5:00.
Okay.
And
excellent.
It's over on Grant Avenue. You can't miss it. There's a story on page 42. Like you said, there's 24 openings on Friday, today.
I know it. Among the others is the Gerald Peters Gallery's Contemporary Naturalism with Tony Angel, Henry Bismuth, Bert Brent, Susan Brewery, Stephen Castrell, in Iwo de Groot. Sculpture paintings 5 to 7, that's tonight, at Gerald Peters, 1011 Paseo de Peralta, 954-5700, runs through the end of July.
That's how I know it's summer. Is when
there's like 2 dozen gallery openings.
It'll go up to 40.
And some shows are ending. I think Carol Anthony's show has just a few more days at
Gerald Peters.
And the wonderful show Currents 2010, which is a big giant video show, opened last weekend, is closing this weekend. I think Saturday or Sunday is the last day. No, let's see. I think Sunday. What did they tell me? Sunday is the last day. It's open 10 in the morning till 7 in the evening every day, and it's free. So it's definitely worth going over there. If you're across the street from, if you're at Site Santa Fe, you just cross the street to El Museo Cultural.
Nice.
Nice.
And Victoria Price Art and Design has Lost and Found, paintings by Nancy Hiding Pollock, and sculpture by Sarah Hewitt. Reception 5 to 7. She's over on 1512 Pacheco Street. I like her, Victoria. I like flirting with her. I don't know that she flirts back with me, though.
There's a lot of great theater. I think The Tempest is opening today.
That's right, theater work.
At James A. Little Theater.
Yeah.
A nice big venue for a nice big show.
And you did the preview story in Pasatiempo?
Yeah, there's a story in today's Pasatiempo on page 30. I talked to David Olson, the director.
Excellent.
Over there.
Excellent. They do such great work over there.
Yeah, they do. This production, I mean, they did The Tempest in 2002. And, you know, they did it in their small space, I think, over on Rufina. And so this is a much bigger space and a much more complete production or a much more grand production. I won't say complete.
Yeah, I loved it when they were in that little black box.
Mm-hmm. I know it gave them real style and definition. Actually.
Yeah, but it's you can't keep it forever and you move on, and it's good to have a bigger auditorium. But that was so cool. Hey, the Center for Contemporary Arts is hosting a gala fundraiser featuring Karen Allison, who is
she's a gala.
She's a very fine jazz person, jazz singer, I guess. And it's this Saturday, tomorrow, from 6 to 8 at the Munoz Waxman Gallery, which is at the CCA. It's that beautiful, beautiful building that they have, that space they built. And there's appetizers with wine and martini bar and experimental silent auction items. For more information, 982-1338, extension 18,
or go to ccasantafe.org.
And it is the Rodeo de Santa Fe weekend.
That's right.
And yesterday I dressed up like a cowboy and everybody thought I was heading to the rodeo, but I'm going to wait to go this weekend.
Yeah.
Evening show's at 6:30. You got to pay to get in, but it's a lot of fun. You can sit in open bleachers really cheaply. 988-1234, which is, of course, the Lenzic phone number. Check out the show. I think on Saturday there's stuff happening all day. I like to go out there Saturday afternoons and look at the ducks and stuff.
Yeah, I always think it's great that, because Santa Fe Gay Pride is also continuing this weekend. And I always think it's great that the rodeo and Gay Pride overlap, because there's like twice as many chances to see men in chaps. It's awesome. But the Pride Parade is
and
actually...
And you can think about Brokeback
Mountain.
And
I'm supposed to go out to Rodeo to Santa Fe after you say that.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You're confident in your sexuality.
Yeah,
besides,
I am.
But I hear they're missing a rodeo clown.
why do I do this?
Are you going to take that?
Why do I do that? Why do I allow two of you to team up on
that's
me?
Not abusive. I think you'd be really good at it.
Thank you. That's, do I have to run away from the bulls?
Yeah.
I'd be doing that if I go out there anyway with all the men you claim are out there.
Well, you run away from a lot of bull every day anyway, so.
You mean at the newspaper?
No.
Yeah, the people
no,
we deal with.
In general.
Oh.
But anyway, the parade, I believe, starts at noon.
Excellent.
Over at the Capitol. And then at...
Wait, the rodeo parade?
No. The Pride Parade. Yeah, don't get those confused. And then...
You're the one confusing everybody.
And then at about 12:30, it's gonna wind up. It's a really short parade, but it ends up in the rail yard. And then they have music from like 12:30, 1 o'clock until about 6 o'clock tonight. And it's going to be a big fete. There's all kinds of events going on throughout the weekend. You're going to have to pick up Posse Tempo.
Read the Posse Tempo in detail.
Exactly.
Would be the thing to do.
Exactly.
Now here's something that looks great for Tuesday night. The Good, the Bad, and the Very Bad. A Year in the Life of an Art Critic. With author, art critic, and TV personality Jerry Saltz. Part of the Art and Culture series. It's going to be at Site Santa Fe. 6 o'clock. You got to pay to get in. You can see a story that Mr. DeWalt did in terms of an interview with him in today's Pasa Tiempo, 989-1199. I love that you asked him about the TV show.
What a fun interview.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the point. You know, I actually, he has a second book out that he put out in December. So kind of a collection of a lot of his critiques and reviews and things like that. And I think the second chapter is about biennials and whether or not they've outlived their usefulness. So I think it's fun that he's going to be speaking at Site. As part of,
the biennial. That's excellent.
Yes.
So. Go pay attention to critics and what they have to say, because you got to understand them better before you start griping about what they write about you.
Okay. So Mark Mallon and harmonica Mike Handler and their Country Blues Review will be at the Second Street Brewery's Rail Yard location tomorrow. That's the new location. From 5 to 8:30. Today, Friday, from 5 to 8:30, playing acoustic blues originals. And no cover, good beer, is what Michael said in his email. And then Michael Handler is filling in for Jeff Dowd on the Sunday Blues Show here on KSFR from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And he's going to be featuring blues artists from the recent and current blues festivals and blues cruises.
Sweet.
Blues cruise.
Blues cruise. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't talk to you about the 2010 Santa Fe Greek Festival.
Yes.
It's actually happening at the Santa Fe Farmers Market on Sunday.
I was just about
Sunday.
To mention that.
I won't make the obvious, never mind. It's not Gay Pride, ladies
no,
and gentlemen.
No, it's not? Okay. Yeah, but it is going to be a great time on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. At the Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion in the rail yard. And you know, yesterday, they started Thursday Farmers Markets. And so every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. there's a market now. So now there's one on Saturday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
My favorite Greeks are Aphrodite and her twin sister Eurydice.
Really?
Although Sappho's pretty cool, too. She started that whole thing with the lesbians.
And almost none of her work remains, which is very sad.
No, but we remember her for all the nice things she did with women.
Paul Rudnick's comedy, The New Century, continues at the Santa Fe Playhouse. I believe, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It's okay to talk about Gay Pride, but we can't talk about guys that like lesbian scenes? No, of course not. Go ahead. Keep telling us about who were you talking about?
I was talking about Paul Rudnick's The New Century, the comedy over there at the Playhouse.
There's a New Century out there.
It's fun stuff. It's really funny stuff.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Good.
And I would recommend it. It's more like a collection of, to me, it feels more like a collection of vignettes than just like one big story, like Greater Tuna or whatever.
Mm.
But it's a hoot. Some of the material, a little bit adult, but you know, that's okay.
Robert would like it.
Yeah, Robert would really like it.
Stories of the Land. It's a community presentation and book signing of Lucy Lepard's book, Down Country, the Tano of the Galisteo Basin. And we talked to Lucy Lepard and photographer Ed Ranney, who were talking about the book on this program recently. The books are for sale as a fundraiser for Earthworks Institute. And it is this coming Saturday, that is tomorrow from 5 to 7 at the Galisteo Community Center at 35 Avenida Vieja in Galisteo. And for more information, 982-9806 or go to earthworksinstitute.org.
Hey, I got to talk about the Media That Matters Film Fest is happening over at Warehouse 21 on tonight at 7 o'clock. They have a great website, and I wish I could remember it. I believe it's MediaThatMatters.com, but you can just Google Media That Matters Film Fest and read all about this. This is great. All these filmmakers are independent filmmakers. Some of them are teens, some of them aren't, but they tackle a lot of important topics like the environment and gay and lesbian issues and things like that.
Excellent.
And that's over at Warehouse 21 tonight, 7 o'clock. Check it out.
Meanwhile, Juan C. D. Flamenco Theater Company kicks off its season starting tonight through late August at the Maria Benitez Theater at the Lodge of Santa Fe at 750 North St. Francis Drive.
Good dancers.
8:30 p.m. And here's a phone number, 988-1234.
I've heard that before.
I heard it before.
The Barkin Boutique Flea Market is this month. And let's see. Oh, gosh. I have to open the flyer. Oh, no. It's right here.
Open the flyer, Mary Charlotte.
It's also Take Your Dog to Work Day, by the way.
Today?
Yes.
Oh.
You gotta be kidding me.
Good dogs.
We're not allowed to bring dogs to the Mexican.
I know.
Wait, we can though if they're assistance dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Española Valley Humane Society Barkin Boutique Flea Market is tomorrow, Saturday, from 8 to 5 at 1107 Penn Road. And that is very close to where we are sitting here, ladies and gentlemen, in the Santa Fe Baking Company. It's between Cerrillos and St. Francis, kind of off of Cordova Road. So 1107 Penn Road, 466-3229. And benefit the animals of Española and the greater region.
We always want to do that.
They're great. They're great. These two animal shelters, the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society and the Española, are wonderful people and organizations and animals.
Yeah. Well,
while we brace ourselves to go into the opening weekend next week of the Santa Fe Opera, where they present all these tragic stories of people singing really loud, I just want to point out that on
They're
Tuesday
not all
night,
tragic. Benjamin Britten is happy.
Okay, well, the Magic Flute.
That's not unhappy.
No, you're right. And Tuesday night, they're going to be showing it as a youth night at the opera. It's sort of like a final dress rehearsal that families can attend for what Paso Tiempo is calling the price of a first-run movie. So, in other words, you can get down there. The performances start at 9, but the kids can get in kind of inexpensively. We don't mention prices on KSFR. 986-5900. That reminds me.
Yes.
I went to the book sale last week. How'd it do?
I think we did very well, yes. Congratulations above all to Linda Highhill, the staff, the board, and the many volunteers and community members here that made the KSFR book and media sale a success. And actually, we're if anybody has a big, giant room that they would like to donate to KSFR so that we can store our books, because we want to keep doing this. And do them regularly, because there were fantastic books there.
Well, I just want to point out that when I got there last week, I took your advice and went Friday night and paid the admission.
Yeah.
And Linda was kind enough to lead me directly to the erotica section, which, in fact, they did have.
Sweet.
Which I mentioned on the radio last Friday.
Did you clean them out?
No, I had all that stuff. Oh. I write better than those guys anyway.
Well,
I did buy some books, though.
Speaking of, good, I'm glad you did. I bought some books, too. Speaking of
the arts, that's what the show is.
Erotica.
Oh, no, go ahead.
now I have your attention. It's not happening yet, but I will tell you as soon as it is. Coming up at Garcia Street Books will be a little exhibition of books and I think some art, too, surrounding the question, what is obscene? So at some points in history, for example, I think it's the 50th anniversary of the trial of Lawrence for Lady Chatterley's lover, which is one of those things where if you read it now and you were in high school looking for a thrill, you'd probably be disappointed. But at the time, it was a scandal.
Yeah.
So we are going to address that question. What is obscene?
If they turned
Lawrence of Arabia is kind of...
If you took Lady Chatterley's lover and made it like a video game, that would go.
A video... Why do I feel that we're in some kind of vortex of confusion, of points traveling in different directions and not having...
I think we all had different kinds of coffee this morning.
That may be.
Hey, El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe today. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a group show, opening reception of student work for the Currents 2010 multi-video exhibit over there. It's in the rail yard. They have a different address, but it's still in the rail yard. There's a reception tonight at 6 p.m., and that's only up through Sunday, the 27th, so go down and check it out.
Angelo Jaramillo and Argus McCallum, both who've been on this show numbers of times, will read original poetry at the Teatro Paraguas studio on Sunday, June 27th at 6:30 as part of the Teatro Paraguas ongoing poetry and music series, Son de Domingo. What do you think about them apples?
I think they're awesome. I am going to, tonight...
I guess that would be at Teatro Paraguas, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is, you can find it on the web.
Yeah. It's, well, yeah, you can. I'm going to go see Meow Wolf Habitats installation. Afterwards.
I went last weekend. I went to the opening. It's awesome.
This is what I've heard, so I'm going to go down there.
And there's a piece also at Linda Durham Gallery.
Yeah, I'm going to go to see Geo something or other. Which is at her gallery.
They've built a giant, I'm just keep interrupting you, but they built a giant dome out of just stuff, like retro kind of 60s and 70s flea market dumpster stuff, which sounds awful, but it is beautiful and it works and it's crazy and chaotic and just fascinating.
What do you think they're going to do with the stuff when that comes down?
That is a great question.
Because there's probably some cool stuff on it.
There's some very cool stuff on it. There's a pink Michael Jackson fold-out turntable. There are disco mirror light rotating bowling pins.
Ooh.
Just saying.
I have something to say.
Okay.
Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia.
Yes.
I just wanted to remind you guys I was here.
Onomatopoeia, do you know what it means?
Why don't you tell us?
Onomatopoeia is a word that sounds like what it means.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, why I said it, because it sounded like that, and I wanted you two to look at me.
Like,
look at me.
I can think of a lot of words that are onomatopoeias that you shouldn't say on the radio.
Ah, well, one of them, I suppose, is woof,
mm-hmm.
or bow wow wow.
Mm-hmm.
Susurration, that's an onomatopoeia.
What?
It's the... Look
go
at
ahead. Anyway. No. Why don't you tell us what that means, Miss Dictionary? Come on. Go ahead. You threw out a word and you're baffled. Wolf, she says, bow, wow, wow. This is Mary Charlotte. People say, oh, this guy you have on the radio Friday, the guy's an idiot. She does wolf and bow, wow, wow. And then she says, is that a five-syllable word? What'd she say, sasapilla? That's a thing you get over there at the Mexican restaurant with your honey. It's a delicious little pastry, right?
Mm-hmm. Backstage tours of the opera also continue, as does youth nights at the opera.
That's
Tuesday,
right.
There's a final dress rehearsal for The Magic Flute at 9 p.m.
I said this 8 minutes ago. They weren't listening. That's why I said onomatopoeia.
I don't know.
Susurration is a sort of like...
Trying to get back on track.
Murmuring sound, like a babbling brook that has lots of sort of S's in it.
Oh, like Ethel murmuring. That's why we're going to do the Ethel Merman show this week.
Ethel murmuring. Okay. Hapa, Hawaiian chant and dance band. Pan-Polynesian music, 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday at Santa Fe Brewing Company. You can call the Lenzig box office at 988-1234 to find tickets. You can also get tickets at the door.
Isn't it good when you say one thing and I provide like the Hawaiian music in the background?
Yeah,
that's where this comes in handy.
Is that what that was? I thought you were mumbling an onomatopoeia.
All right.
TGIF Chancel Choir Concert, music of Bach.
Go ahead.
And others tonight at 5:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church on Grant Avenue. Donations are accepted.
Nice. Meanwhile, over at the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art Symposium and Book Signing, Reexamining Colonial Art is the Spanish Colonial Art Society event that's in conjunction with the exhibition called Converging Streams, the Art of the Hispanic and Native American Southwest, which ties in with a really wonderful book/catalog that I took a look at, wrote about in subtext today in the Paso Tiempo. It's all day Saturday, 9 to 5, up at the Museum Hill Museum of Spanish Colonial Art on Camino Alejo. There's no charge. Call the following number for a schedule, 982-2226, but we do have a schedule running in Paso Tiempo in subtext on page 12. Take a look, see where we also still have, by the way, book reviews. Yes, Paso Tiempo has book reviews. And we read the books.
Well, I should hope so.
Well, you mean people that
it
like
on the base of its cover?
People think you don't. You just read the jacket or the first graph. No, if we're reviewing the books, we take it seriously.
The summer concert series, Gordon's concert series, continues today at Ashley Pond in Los Alamos with one of Scotland's best traditional and neo-traditional band, the Old Blind Dogs.
Oh, they're wow. Great. They're
and they're
going to
play
great.
Jigs, reels, love songs, and ballads. Check it out.
Oh, and by the way, July 1st is the beginning of the Roswell UFO Festival.
I'm heading down there.
Are you going there for the parade, or are you going for the whole time?
Well, I have friends down there, and I like to go down there and hang out with them. And to go down there during the time when all the aliens are there is a lot of fun.
So I've been down there since the anniversary, way back. Do they have, like, alien-themed food there now?
I don't know. It's been a few years for me, too. They had an alien-haunted house last time I was there.
Ectoplasm smoothies?
Yeah, something like that. You know, deep-fried anal probes. I don't know. You never know. I mean, it's...
This is a family show, Robert.
Well, it's a very common thing with aliens. Ask half of Santa Fe.
You know, the first episode of the first season of South Park addressed exactly that theme.
Yes, I remember that.
Some people think I was abducted and then brought back.
Emblazoned on my mind.
It does seem rather obvious.
Is Team America really your favorite movie?
It's in the top 10.
Okay. Just wondering.
Oh, I'm going to pinch you.
On Saturday, after a lot of stuff is that's happening at the Rail Yard for Pride, there is a youth Pride party over at Warehouse 21. Hosted by drag performer Wenda Watch. There's going to be a bunch of stuff. Kristen Gray and the Moving Dunes are going to be over there playing music. There's going to be performers from Wiseville, New Mexico. There's going to be snacks, you know. That starts at 5:30 on Saturday over there at Warehouse 21. And that's a no-charge event, by the way.
How come this page of ads in Paso Tiempo about spas, every one of them has a woman in various states of undress?
It's because people like you love pictures like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more people like you than there are just about anybody. No.
Wow.
The Sierra Club presents Beyond
what
Oil.
The?
It's a free movie. I didn't mean it that way. It's a free movie screening.
That's a good sign. That means I do have a popular following.
It is. You are what I guess what I was trying to say is
I'm ubiquitous.
You have your finger on the pulse of the American psyche.
Male psyche.
Yeah. But let me finish talking about this mini documentary, Beyond Oil, which is at 8 o'clock on June 29th at the Commons here in Santa Fe. It's a movie that profiles people affected in the Gulf and gives firsthand account of the disaster. Wow, there's already a movie about that. Let's see.
Do you know
More information, 820-1006.
Do you know anything about this chamber music performance of music by Louis Spratt?
Spratlin.
In conjunction with the SFO premiere of his opera Life is a Dream that is happening on Saturday the 26th.
Excellent.
At 6 p.m. at Stearin Hall at the Santa Fe Opera. You can call 474-6601 to find out ticket information for that.
That's one of the nice things about the fact that every year there's a living composer, uh-huh. I think, just about every year, maybe every year, yeah. at the of one of the operas, and then that person will also do a whole different thing and a whole different piece than the opera, and we get to know more about their work.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the first day that James Keller, our new classical music critic at Paso Tiempo, has a column.
That's correct.
Which he's calling Listen Up. Take a look-see as he talks about various elements, says hello to you. And talks about London Assurance, which is being brought in by the National Theatre in London at the Lunzig at 7 o'clock on Monday. Call 988-1234. But take a look-see at his column.
I told him you should have called his column Strung Out. You know, string, like strung, string, strung out.
Not everyone might get it.
Really?
I don't know. Good question.
Is it stringed out?
Stringed out. Here we go.
Or string them up.
Ron Romanowski, his band Welcome to Bohemia.
Welcome to Bohemia.
They are playing tonight at the Lucky Bean in Rancho Viejo from 7 to 10, no cover. And for more information, 438-8999. And then Saturday, tomorrow, they're going to be playing at Santa Fe Gay Pride at the rally at the Rail Yard Park. They're scheduled to go on at 1:30. They're going to do some political satiric songs apropos of the event. You can go to santafehra.org. That's Human Rights Alliance. And that's Ron Romanowski.
The what is it called? The Lucky Bean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Lucky...
It used to be...
That sounds like a...
The Lucky Bean in... Cañada del Rancho in Rancho Viejo.
Doesn't that sound like a place like W.C. Fields would have in his movies? Lucky Bean in Rancho Viejo.
And you can go to Lucky Bean
right
Cafe.
Next to the Black Pussycat Cafe.
LuckyBeanCafe.com.
There's a toga party happening at Corazon
Saturday
night.
That is so 30 years ago.
I know.
But wait, there's Greek
everything's
Fest.
Everything's retro now. Everything that's
No, this ties in with the Greeks. Those guys wore sheets and stuff.
There's the Greek festival. That's on Sunday. This is
yeah,
on
but
Saturday.
Did they wear togas or were they more Spartan than that?
Well, the Greeks span many centuries. They're not just one if you're talking about ancient Greece.
I'm talking about the time when people wore sheets instead of what they're wearing today, togas. Who wore the togas? The Romans?
I think it pretty much everyone.
There was a lot
they're
of
looking at each other.
Some,
they don't know.
There
Why
was a lot of Mediterranean toga wearing around the time of the birth of Christ, before and after.
Did people trip over the togas, do you think?
I bet they did.
When they were being pursued?
But I bet the really important people had other people to hold their togas up off the ground.
Oh, like the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Well, think of your own experience at toga parties when you were in college, Robert.
I didn't wear no toga. I went en naturel.
Oh, no.
That way I didn't trip. I just got thrown out.
Well, if you go to Corazon on Saturday night, make sure that you don't go au naturel. Bring, a pillow or something.
Because it's a toga party.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to wear a toga.
Or something.
Can you imagine if there's like a big thunderstorm and everybody's outside waiting to get in? Wouldn't that be funny?
Don't curse. Don't curse Saturday with thunderstorms.
We're supposed to get thunderstorms today. Be thankful.
I know.
Because this heat is knocking me out at night. I don't like it.
I don't either. I'm going rafting tomorrow.
And don't forget the Cinematheque, which is the movie theater at the Center for Contemporary Arts, the CCA.
Forget.
And don't forget the Screen, which is the marvelous movie theater on the campus of the College of Santa Fe. They always have terrific movies. The one that I've seen at the CCA is called Before Tomorrow. That's an Inuit movie, which is not something you're going to see in a multiplex. And there's a lot of other stuff at both of those places. So check them out, and don't forget to go to the movies. I know it's tempting to just rent movies and do Netflix and all that stuff, but it's great to go to the movie theaters.
And don't forget the soothing radio sounds of DeWalt, Mundy, and Knott every Friday morning at 8:30 at KSFR.
That's right. Robert Knott is education reporter.
I know.
For the Santa Fe New Mexican.
That's working out okay. They
and Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo, the Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican.
Oh, keep doing the voice.
And they are with us speaking of the arts. It's absolutely delightful.
Like soul, like
how can I do sultry when you're doing mermaid?
I love.
Anyway, it's great to have you guys. Thank you so much for coming and
it's
joining
really
me here in
here.
The Santa Fe Baking Company.
Thank you.
Let's kiss and tickle her while she does her outro.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary
Let's
Charlotte.
Do it.
We're
no.
streaming live on the web at KSFR.org.
Come on, just jump over.
Podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at Facebook.com/RadioCafe.
Just tug her hair.
Thanks to
there's a naked lady on the cover of the Pasatiempo.
Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today, and welcome back from your little break that Marilyn took. Welcome back, we missed you. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz a la carta with Ricardo Perez. Hey, how'd you like my sultry?
I like the part about the BBC because they're British.
The BBC, the Beeb, as they call
it. It's marvelous.
Hey, that wasn't bad. Are we off the air yet? Because
no.
I want to tell you a dirty story about a pair of twins.
We got another minute. But tell that story. Tell it after we get off the air.
Okay.
If you want to come to the Santa Fe Baking Company, you can hear Robert telling that story.
Oh, I see.
That's right.
But don't interrupt us when we're in the air because we're having too much fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's no people
and
like
if you
KSFR people.
Want to send
like Mary Charlotte
announcements?
She's so cute.
It's radiocafe at KSFR.org. Please don't send attachments. Please
pretends.
Include all information
like
phone numbers. Have a wonderful weekend, you guys.
You too. We'll see you around.
Stay
maybe
dry.
We'll see you at the rodeo, the
what?
Gay pride, the
I
toga
forgot
party,
to say also,
Greek fest.
Taos Solar Music Festival is this weekend.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
But why would you want to go up there if you got togas and stuff down here?
Well, that is a good point.
Why doesn't Michael Franti just move here?
Good question. All right, everybody. Hasta la vista. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.